You're watching KCMI TV.
Well, let's get into the Word of the Lord, and I want to talk to you about the dangers of living in the past. The past is, for all intents and purposes, it's dead. It's forever settled. You cannot change it. And so I want to go to the book of Genesis. I wasn't originally going to read this, but Genesis chapter 19, this is dealing with Lot and the angels and Lot's family. And the Lord has told them that, you know, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 13, let's start with verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Have you ever realized that there have been times that God has pulled you out of something that you didn't understand why until later, and then you realize that God was bringing judgment, or he saved you from something? In verse 14, Lot went out, spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. They just laughed at him and said, that's not possible. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, or they hurried him up. He was lingering. They said, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God, that when we are slow in being obedient, he said, while he lingered, the angels actually laid hold on his hand and on the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, because God was merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They literally dragged him out of there. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain. And then I want to go down to verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And in Luke chapter 17, in fact, I think we just probably need to read that too. Let's go to Luke chapter 17 and read a portion of scripture, because this is the only place in the New Testament that references Lot's wife. And in Luke 17, verse 32, it says, remember Lot's wife. Just a very short verse. He said, you need to remember Lot's wife. And then the next verse he says, because whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So the Lord here tells the story of Lot and his family are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, I think in Hebrews, it talks about that Lot's righteous soul was vexed day by day by the deeds of these men in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Lord loves Lot. He tells Abraham what he's going to do. And then he sends an angel, and they literally have to drag them out. And he told him, he said, what I'm getting ready to do, I'm going to destroy where you've been, and I don't want you to look back at it. And then he said, run for your life. And of course, we know that Lot, the Bible says, when they were leaving from a distance, she turned around and she looked at it and she became a pillar of salt. Here's the problem with Lot's wife. She was living in a place of such immorality and such gross sin and an abomination being committed there in those cities. And it had got in her. She didn't want to leave. And even though she left physically, she left Sodom physically, Sodom never left her. And that's what made her, the longing in her heart for Sodom and Gomorrah caused her to turn and look back to her past. And when she did, God turned her into a pillar of salt. And Sodom and Gomorrah were in the close proximity to the Dead Sea and in that region. And there was a, it was known for a tremendous amount of salt. I have literally swam in the Dead Sea, and I'd always heard stories, you can't sink in the Dead Sea. And I thought, well, you know, that can't be true, but it is literally true. When you get in the Dead Sea, there is so much salt in the Dead Sea that you just float on top. You can sit there with your knees crossed and you float. And so there was so much salt in that area. And in that area, salt in that culture was associated with barrenness. All right, that there could be no fruit produced. And also by becoming a pillar of salt, it symbolized a final irreversible judgment. And even though she left Sodom, her past, it pulled on her. And see, Abraham understood a little bit about this because the Lord told Abraham, he said, I need you to leave where you're at because I cannot do in your future what I want to do and make you a great nation as long as you are where you are. And God takes people through transitions. And sometimes God will pull you out of a place that you think, well, this is not that bad. I mean, this is a good place. I'm enjoying it. I got a good job and everything's going good. But God is, he knows the end from the beginning. And he looks into the future and he says, what I want to do with you, I can't do where you are. So I need you to leave. I need you to go to another place. This is in Hebrews. I was going to read this last, but this is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Says, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises. See, promises are about the future. They're not about the past. God can't change your past. All right. He can redeem things, but he can't change them. They're forever settled. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Most of the time when God's trying to get you to leave a place, he will give you a little glimpse by faith to the future. They saw them afar off, they were persuaded of them, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You and I are pilgrims and strangers right now on the earth. This is why in 1 John it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, this is not our permanent home. God is trying to take us to another place. And they said they were pilgrims and strangers. In verse 14, for they that say such things, what they're saying is, this isn't our home. And he said, they that say that declare that they're seeking a country. And then in verse 15, it says, truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they had came out of, they might have had an opportunity to return. Leaving your past is a choice. And The Bible says this, that if they had been mindful of the country, in other words, if their heart was still set on where they used to be, Scripture says that there would have been an opportunity arise for them to go back. But verse 16 says, but now they, because they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I want to say to you that if you're willing to take a chance on God and obey the voice of the Lord, and we know this, the just live by faith, all right? Most of the time, God is not going to give you a roadmap to the end. He's going to give you just enough for the next step. And so I really believe this. When people are consumed with their past, you get around them, and I've met people that, you know, they're 60 years old, 70 years old, and they don't talk about anything that's relevant to their life. Every time you run, they're talking about something 30 years ago or 40 years ago. When people dwell on their past, it's because they believe that their past will always be greater than their future. And see, if you don't believe that your future is going to be better, then you start looking for the things of the past. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. I think you'll like this portion of scripture. Exodus chapter 16, and we'll read a couple of verses. And you know, the problem with the Israelites is they just dwelled in unbelief. It didn't matter what they saw God do. They had such a hard time believing for the next thing. And in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, it says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Every time some kind of difficulty arise for the Israelites, whether they didn't like the manna, or they needed water, or they needed bread, whatever, they immediately would let unbelief get in their heart and stand and say, and I believe that God's going to do something great. Listen, when you're in the middle of a difficult place, but you're in the will of God and your heart doesn't condemn you, you need to believe and you need to declare, I believe that God set me up for a miracle, for something great. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And you know what? They pronounced judgment on themselves because they died in the wilderness. And see, God was trying to bring them into another place. But their problem was, when you step out by faith, it's a scary thing, all right? You don't have anything to hold on to except the word of the Lord. And so it really takes a leap of faith to do that. And a lot of people, they want to sing the right song on the wrong side of the river. Israel should have sang the song of deliverance before they ever crossed the Red Sea or crossed the Jordan. But then after God does it, then they want to sing the song of victory. You got to sing the song of victory before God lets you cross over. And these Israelites, here's their problem. You know, we always remember the past as more rosy than it was. We extract some moments, oh, that was so great and everything. But in reality, most of us don't want to go back to our past. And the Israelites, they're talking about, oh man, Egypt was so great. And we remember the leeks and the garlics and the onions and our pots are full of meat and we got bread. What they didn't remember, they were slaves. All right? They were miserable. The Egyptians put such hard, rigorous labor on them. But see, when this is why God, this is why the Lord says this. Forgetting, this is Philippians 3:13, forgetting those sayings which are behind. All right? It doesn't matter. And also, it doesn't matter if the past was great or the past wasn't great. God said, you got to move on. We need fresh bread today. We can't live in the past. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Why? Because he said, we are reaching forth unto those things which are before. As long as you're holding on to the past, you'll never be able to reach for the future. Because the past will tie you down to mediocrity. Remember this, there are no miracles in the past. Now, they may have happened in the past, but they can't happen again because the past is dead. So if you live in the past, there are no miracles. The Bible says this, God is not a God of the dead. The past is dead. This is why lots of people can't figure out, I just know why I'm happy and why God's not moving. Because you're living in a dead zone. He said, I'm not the God of the dead. I am the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Luke 9:16 says this. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit or qualified for the kingdom of God. Now, you got to understand Jesus's ministry. He was talking to the Jews, and a lot of them made their living through agriculture, okay, and farming. They understood the concept of animals and seasons and rain and seed and plowing. They understood all of that. So the Lord would take spiritual principles and he would use the analogy of what they were familiar with to teach them a spiritual truth. So here he says, when a man puts his hand to the plow and then he looks back, he's not qualified for the kingdom of God. What? Here's what happens when you put your hand on the plow back in those days, and then you look back, you get off course. And the furrows of the field had to be straight. And when a man took his hand off the plow and looked back, then the mule got off course. And then your field was messed up. This is what the Lord was saying. You can't qualify in the kingdom of God if you're looking backwards because you get off course. And the furrows get messed up. This is why the Lord spoke this to us. Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, and don't consider the things of old. You just got to let it go. This is how we stay fresh. The only way you can stay fresh is to live in the firm future and a fresh and present, because present's always leading you into the future. I want to end with this scripture, because I love this. Hebrews 12:2. Because remember now, we're talking about looking at something. And we don't want to look at the past. Lot's wife. And another thing about salt, it represented covenant. If you use that are scholars in the word, when you study the word of the Lord, you know this, the Bible will talk about the covenant of salt. And this is part of why she turned into a pillar of salt, was because she broke covenant. God was telling her, I am merciful to you, pulling you out. Now stay in covenant with me. So Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Looking at that is inferring that we're looking ahead, all right? We're not looking behind us. When you look at the past, it will never give you direction for the future. Even years ago, we used road maps, Rand McNally maps. Many of you that are older, you remember that. We didn't have GPS and iPhones and all of that, and you get a map out. And when you're trying to figure out how to get to your destination, you're always looking from where you were further up on the map. You never look behind you. This is what Jesus is saying. Looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. So you got to look to Jesus to find your destination. There's no other way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So Jesus is our, he is our direction. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. And then it talks about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. We know that the cross was a horrible thing. It said he endured the cross and despised the shame, is now set down on the right hand of the Father. How did Jesus navigate such a horrendous moment in his life that everything in the natural said, it's done? The Father knew Jesus. He had always been obedient. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The Father knew that he had a future for Jesus Christ, and that was to sit on the right hand of the Father forever till all things are put under his feet. And so, because Jesus did not look to the past, he's not going, man, I sure remember those days when I fed 5,000 people with two loaves and five little fish. And I sure remember that time I brought Lazarus out of the tomb. And how about that blind Bartimaeus? I healed him. Man, the crowds went nuts. You remember that time that they loved me so much they tried to make me king? And in fact, just a few days ago, they were laying down their coats and branches and they were saying, Hosanna in the highest. He didn't look at any of that, because the Bible said that, you know how Jesus made it? The Father set some joy down in the future, the joy of the future. Hallelujah. He set it down in front of Jesus. And he said, son, don't remember the past. Keep your eyes on what I'm showing you. And the Bible said that Jesus, hallelujah, for the joy that was set before him, he fastened his eyes on that. That got him through the difficulty. But he could have never solved the joy if he had still been looking in the past. So today I want to encourage you, whether it was good or bad, forget it. Move on. Let's look to the future and believe that God is going to do great things. Well, God bless you. I'll see you next week.
For more information about Kent Christmas Ministries International or Regeneration Nashville, go to kentchristmas.org or regenerationnashville.org. And for the latest updates or videos, follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube. God bless you.